You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Today's top story is brought to you by the financing company Genfin. So interesting developments coming out of the National Consumer Tribunal. They fined two car dealerships around some cases that related to previous customers, and the customers had asked for or had wanted to return the vehicles. They'd asked for their money back. The companies didn't want to. It went through to the tribunal, and the case has, or the cases have been ruled on. And I'm joined on the line by the company secretary for the National Consumer Commission, Joseph Silolo, to take a look at this. Good evening, Joseph. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start by understanding, just from a case perspective, what was brought forward and under what conditions did the customers then bring these cases forward?
Evening to you and evening to the listeners. So what happens is a consumer or a customer would transact in the ordinary course with a business, and in this case they transacted with two different dealerships, right? So and then when you purchase a car or any other good, and then the law gives you an implied warranty of 6 months, that should there be defects that manifest within that period, then go back to the supplier and they exercise a choice whether you want a refund, a replacement, or a repair, right? So, and the supplier is obliged by law to then act in accordance with your choice. In these two cases, the supplier simply failed to act in accordance with the consumer choices, which means they refused to cancel the transactions, and these matters were then lodged with the Consumer Commission, which then investigated and indeed found that these two entities have failed or have their law.
That's quite an interesting thing, because I don't think a lot of consumers know this about the implied warranty that exists. Joseph, can we just look at some of the legislation? I mean, Section 55 and 56 obviously become very important here of the Consumer Protection Act. But let's look at Section 55 first, because that's what was used here when the tribunal was adjudicating this. What does it say about the quality that is provided? Because I imagine the dealership sort of said, no, but you bought the vehicle from us under these conditions or under this quality, and the consumer then says, no, but it didn't meet up to those quality standards. How do we as consumers understand the legislation and what the rights of the consumer are?
So Section 55 creates a standard in terms of which the goods that a retailer, any retailer is retailing, right? So that they must meet. So it simply says goods must be usable and durable for a reasonable period of time. Goods must be in good working order, fit for purpose, and free of any defects, right? And the goods must comply with all standards that are there in the Republic. So when you then purchase something and it breaks within the stipulated period, being the 6 months, the law then infers that those goods were not usable and durable for a reasonable period of time, or that they were not free of the defects. So on the facts will then determine which one is more apposite. In these two cases, it was the issue of the defects themselves. The goods were not free of defects, as well as that the goods were not in good working condition, and they were not usable and durable for a reasonable period of time. So to simplify it, when you purchase something, that which you have purchased is not supposed to break down or give you problems within this month that is implied by the law. Mm. Right. So when it gives a problem within that period, it doesn't meet the standard. What is your remedy? The remedy is then in the 56 section that says you must go back to the supplier and there demand a replacement, a repair, or a refund. It is completely your choice, not the the retailer's choice.
That's the other interesting point, right? Is to say that as the consumer, you have the right to say, I actually don't want the product anymore. And the retailers, I imagine, in this case, in the manufacturers or the suppliers here in this case, had previously not wanted to refund the consumers. Now, when we look at the judgment that was put together by the tribunal ordered that not only are they going to refund the purchase price of the what the consumers paid, but there's also going to be an administrative fine that comes along with that. Those administrative fines are designed to deter these suppliers of whatever goods they are from providing things that are substandard. The administrative fines in this case, are they enough or are they too lenient?
So when it comes to administrative fines, there is a set of factors that the applicant, being the commission, has to argue, and the tribunal will have to consider. And of course, the retailers will then, so let me put it to you this way. So we have to argue in aggravation, they will have to argue in mitigation, and the tribunal will consider that. So as it stands, we are satisfied with the amounts as they are, but it doesn't mean that the next offender will get this amount. They might get even more. There are instances where a fine of $1 million has been imposed before, but when the tribunal weighs the factors of a specific case, they would then make their finding. But the findings as they are in this case, we are satisfied with them. Of course, we wanted more, but the intention is not necessarily to close the business. It's to punish someone as well as send out a message, but not necessarily to shut down the business.
Mm. Joseph, speaking of sending messages out there, it's always important to send the right messages. And on the consumer side of it, it's also important to know that even though we have our rights that are protected by the Consumer Protection Act, we also can't abuse them and can't take advantage of them. You mentioned things around a reasonable time in which to deal with things that you have concerns with and all of that. I want to look at the fact that sometimes it's not as simple as just returning whatever you don't want. It has to be, obviously, in addition to the defect. The defect itself must be a serious enough defect for that. If something is a minor thing, that's a very small thing that doesn't require me returning that, how do I discern that? How do I know whether or not I've got a legitimate claim?
That's a very important question. So let's answer it this way. The right to return and receive your refund or replacement or a repair stems from the fact that what you're complaining about must be a defect as defined in the law. So the easiest way of defining it or of clarifying it is to say a defect does go to the heart of the functioning of the thing that you bought. So we must say, but for the defect, are you having useful use of the thing that you've bought? So let's keep to the example of a motor vehicle. Is it doing what motor vehicles generally do, right? And do it properly. So if you have a scratch, that won't necessarily be a defect because then the vehicle is still able to start. You put it in gear, first gear, it goes forward. You put it in reverse, it goes backwards. But is the defect something that affects the ordinary operation of the motor vehicle? So for example, you have oil leaks in a car. What does it mean? Oil leak is a symptom of a problem, right? So we then know that there is a problem. You have smoke coming from a car. The general, normal, everyday way we say the car is smoking. I'm not talking about some cars will smoke when you start it and after it's gone. I'm talking about the normal where a car is persistently smoking. It shows you that there is a problem somewhere and it can be diagnosed. So let's use this differentiation. We're not talking about cosmetic problems, but we're talking about problems that go to the heart of the operation of the thing that you have bought.
must be a significant defect that goes to the heart of what you've purchased. Thank you so much for those insights, Joseph. That's Joseph Sololo, who is the company secretary at the National Consumer Commission on the Consumer Tribunal, ordering used car dealers to pay back some 1 million rand in refunds to some customers. This top story was brought to you by Genfin, proud to support South African enterprises for sustainable success.
When your business needs finance to get things done, who do you turn to? At Genfin, we realize that you need to stay focused on running your business. So let us do the work and get your business loan approved in 24 hours. For loans up to 5 million rand, from as little as 10% for 3 months, apply online at genfin.co.za. Genfin, we get it done.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.